Oh, yeah. We're doing it. Another day, another podcast. Oh, baby. Welcome back. I missed all of you. I missed all of you so much. I've been thinking about you all. Yeah, I think last time I wanted to tell you guys a story, but I just edited it just because to keep it short and sweet. But I was about to talk about my first time eating an edible, which was only a couple months ago, and I was 26 at the time, so I'm a little bit of a late bloomer. But it was an interesting thing. I've never had weed before in my life. I've never done weed in my life, and I've never smoked. And the reason is because my lung has collapsed on me 3 times in my life. Okay, and the doctors were like, probably shouldn't smoke stuff. So I was like, all right, that's fair, in order to prevent another lung collapse. So I never smoked anything, but I did eat a pot gummy a couple months ago for the first time. Crazy, because my body doesn't really handle like substances that well. Like I can't handle my liquor at all. I am such a lightweight. It is embarrassing. Every time I go on a date with a girl, she would just drink me under the table. We'll be like 2 beers in, and I'll be like, ugh, I feel like I've had enough. And she's like, you want to get one more drink? And I'm like, oh, good. Oh, good. And then, yeah, I get just super wasted if I'm out with a girl who can hold her own liquor. So, but yeah, I mean, I just think my body just doesn't handle substances well, so... You know, I took a 10-milligram gummy. I actually only took 5 at first just because I was like, I should probably just be cautious. I've never really experienced weed before, so I should probably just, you know, do half of the normal dosage. And then after 2 minutes of not feeling anything, I'm like, fuck it. I'll take the other half. So then I took the other half of the gummy, which was another 5 milligrams, so that's 10 in total. And, man... That shit was so fun for the first 30 minutes. I was having a ball, you know? Everything around me felt so vivid. I was just like, I was so giggly. It felt great. And then after 30 minutes, the paranoia kicked in. And I was convinced that my right lung was collapsing again. I was convinced of it. And for the next 6 hours, that's all I thought about. Your lung is collapsing. You can't breathe. You're gonna die. I'm such a little bitch. I literally... like, what, like, 17-year-old white girls go through when they first do weed? That's what I went through. So, I don't know. Maybe I should start shaking my ass on TikTok because apparently I'm a 17-year-old white girl. Man, I got so paranoid. And then for the next couple of days afterwards, I was like, you know, I was like, man, I don't want to do that shit again. And the reason I think I was so paranoid about my lung collapsing was because I was debating whether to smoke or to take an edible. And apparently they give you 2 different types of highs. Like one gives you a head high and then the other gives you a body high. And I wanted to get a head high. So I was thinking of smoking it. But then I was looking online and it was like, should you smoke with a collapsed lung? And if your lung has collapsed before, and people were like, no, don't do that, you're dumb. So I was like, okay, I won't do that. So it was just on my mind, you know? It's not totally my fault. I'll tell you something, dude. Your lung collapsing, that it really sucks. It is a shitty experience. It's a terrible experience. It's happened to me 3 times in my life, and... Here's what happens is so you can't breathe and you feel like someone is stepping on your chest. That's what it feels like. Like one of those like double section MTA buses just like was just sitting on your chest is what it feels like. And so you're like, ow, I should probably go to the hospital. Then you go to the hospital and what they do is they stick a tube in your chest to drain out the air, because what a collapsed lung is there's a leakage in your lung that causes air to come out of your lung, and then there's air in your chest cavity that's pushing your lung down. Okay, and so the first time it happened, it was 70%. It was a 30% collapse. So that means my lung was 70% inflated. The second time it happened, it was like 60% inflated. So it was a 40% collapse. And then the third time it happened, it was a 90% collapse. So only 10% of my lung was I only had 10% of my lung capacity, basically. So what they do is they take a tube, they put it in your chest, and then they drain the air out of your chest cavity. And then that reinflates your lung. And they also have to do an operation, which it's basically they go into your chest cavity and they have to make a couple of incisions. And then after that surgery, you have the chest tube in your chest and you recover for around a week to 2 weeks. And you're just awake with a tube in your fucking chest. And every time you move, it hurts because there's something sticking out of your chest. It's not fun. So that's an experience I went through like 3 times. So not fun. So I was like, okay, maybe. So I got really freaked out when I took the edible and I was like, okay, my lung is maybe collapsing. Oh, good. Okay, time to switch topics. I think that was a little bit depressing. I have this comedian friend. He's doing the not jerking off challenge. And that is just... So many guys are doing that. The don't jerk off. I don't really get that. I don't get it. Apparently, jerking off is bad and it raises your self-esteem or something. I don't know. But the way they talk about it, it doesn't seem very productive because they get so fucking horny that they just have wet dreams, so they're jizzing in their bed. And then they can't even concentrate on anything. They're just thinking about ass all day. How's that supposed to make you more of a better man? There is cum coming out your nose. Okay? Every time you sneeze, there's just a little bit of cum comes out. That's supposed to be good? I don't get it. And my friend was like... And I also asked my friend, like, man, so when you finally do fuck, because that's the entire goal, it's they want to motivate themselves to actually find girls to fuck instead of jerking off and then just feeling satisfied. I'm like, don't you just bust in like a millisecond? And my man is like, yeah, but then I just keep going. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I just put on another condom. I put on another condom and I just keep banging away. I'm like, ow. That sounds fucking painful. What? I don't understand. How is there any point? Sex is supposed to be like an enjoyable thing. And because you just refuse to jerk off and you haven't jerked off for like 7 months, you've made it like this just painful experience. So I don't get it. I guess if you want to do it, then it's good for you. I mean, I think the number one sign that it's a fucked up thing to do is I think it's a very, very popular thing on Reddit. I think there's a subreddit called NoFap, which if there's a subreddit about something, that probably means what you're doing is an incel thing to do. That was actually a funny thing that happened at this fitness park the other day. There were two pretty out of shape dudes at this outdoor fitness park, and one of them randomly approached the other one and was like, hey, man, do you go on Reddit? And the dude was like, what? Yes? And then the first dude was like, well, yeah, well, I could tell because we were doing the same workout. And then they both got really happy and they high-fived. And it's like, well, you both look disgusting. So, not surprised. Yeah, but that jerking off at that that no fap challenge thing is crazy, you know. I couldn't imagine doing that, you know. Dude, I've jerked off at work before. I know I'm not the only one, all right? I've talked to so many people about this. That is a very popular thing, just jerking off at the office. It's boring, right? And then if you're falling asleep at like 2 p.m. at your desk, so what else are you supposed to do? Just go give yourself a treat in the middle of the day. It's a nice boost. You know, go into your next meeting, shake hands with everyone, right? They're just like, oh, do you just put on hand sanitizer? You're just like, yeah, sure, that's what that liquidy substance is. No, I wouldn't jizz on my hand and shake people's hands. I wish I did, because there's a lot of jackasses that work in an office, but, you know, I don't have the balls. Ayo! Yeah, but that gets like, you know, jerking off at work, it's some of the best jerk-off sessions, just because it's like, it's like a forbidden love, you know? It's kind of like Romeo and Juliet, except you're both of them. Oh, God. Okay, well, hopefully that prevents me from getting a job in the future. I have this friend visiting me right now, and I was showing him, he doesn't have an Instagram, and we were kind of exchanging, like, stories of, like dating stories of girls we dated, and I was telling him about this one girl who I dated for, like, a brief time, and it didn't end well. It ended very, very poorly. And I was showing him her Instagram, and he doesn't know how to use Instagram, so he was trying to zoom into her profile or something, so he double-clicked and then liked the photo. What the fuck, dude? And there was, like, a moment of hesitation. I was like, did you just double-click a photo? And he was like, yeah. And I had to look, and I was like, fuck, you liked it. So I unliked it, and I kept getting angry at him. I was like, dude, you just woke the beast. And he was trying to lecture me, like, no, dude, it's all good. It takes it back, bro. There's no way. I'm like, dude, you don't even have an Instagram. What the fuck do you think you know? I get so paranoid, man. I wonder how many times that's happened to you guys. Like, I wonder if it's happened to you, you know? Like, you saw, like, an ex liked a picture or, like, accidentally messaged you something and then, like, unmessaged it or unliked it. That's got to be, like, a really satisfying feeling, you know? Because it's one thing, that's probably more satisfying than them liking it and keeping it there, you know? Because then it's like you feel your ex's shame. And you're like, yeah, take that like back, you fucking pussy. Oh, God, that was embarrassing. I'll tell you something I'm not embarrassed by, though. I love girly songs. Like really girly girl songs. They sound good to me. I have no shame in listening to that. Christina Aguilera, What a Girl Wants. That's a great song. What a girl wants, what a girl needs. I hope I don't get copyrighted for that shit. That song is very, very catchy. Doja Cat, Say So. That shit is my jam. You know, I'll put on a thong and dance to that shit all day. Right? Put on a wig and a dress and shake my ass. That Selena Gomez song. Who says you're not perfect? Who says you're not worth it? That's a great song. I could sing that entire song. I know at least two verses from that song. I won't do it here because that's what I'm gonna say for my OnlyFans. Man, OnlyFans is so popular now. Everyone's getting OnlyFans. You know, Bella Thorne's got OnlyFans. I don't even know who Bella Thorne is, but apparently she's like a celebrity. But I mean, I guess that's big news to some people, you know? I don't know if she's like more of a actress for the like Gen Z. But that's got to be pretty cool. If you're a fan of Bella Thorne's and she got an OnlyFans, I mean, why would you not pay for that, right? Dude, if Scarlett Johansson got an OnlyFans, oh my God. I mean, Scarlett Johansson, she is the most beautiful Asian woman working in Hollywood today. Very beautiful, Scarlett Johansson. Very beautiful Japanese woman. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a reference to her playing a character in Ghost in the Shell, which is it's an anime, but they cast a white girl. I hope that trend is really going to end in Hollywood. I think it has, for the most part. You know, white people just playing Asians, right? Avatar, the live-action movie. Come on, M. Night Shyamalan. You're a fucking Indian guy, right? You couldn't cast one of your neighbors in China? We're right up north. So easy. You had to cast a white dude? Man, Asian faces, like... That's what they used to do, is they used to, like, take white actors, and to make them Asian, they would, like, tape their eyes back. And it actually kind of looked like they were Asian. So, from a makeup perspective, it's kind of admirable. From a racial perspective, I am dead inside. But from a makeup perspective, good work. You got whitey to look Asian. But, you know, after Crazy Rich Asians came out, all racism ended. There is no more racism against Asians. That's kind of an annoying thing, too, is the fact that, like, after Crazy Rich Asians came out, every fucking Asian-themed show or anything has to have crazy something Asians. You know how many comedy shows around the city and around the country are called Crazy Funny Asians? Right? You have, like, a baking show with all Asian people. It's called, like, Crazy Cooking Asians. That's just what, like, the industry does. Is like, they just take one thing that works, and then they try to replicate it as much as possible. You know? They just go Kage Bushin no Jutsu on that shit and make as many clones. So, Crazy Rich Asians. I still haven't seen that film, actually. I need to do that. Apparently, the lead man in there is a hottie. So, I'll go see for his nips. All right. 18 minutes. See, I'm trying to convince myself that I want to end these episodes early, because it'll keep them short and sweet. But I think I'm just lazy. Which is fine, you know. This is going to come out tomorrow, so, you know, when you hear it, it'll be out, but it's Friday. We're going to do these every Tuesday and Friday, and the email is in the podcast description. If you guys have any questions or anything, feel free to send them in, and thank you for listening.